Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
But let's just do a quick review of New Normal. So week one, we asked, where is my starting point for the day? For my relationships, what are my priorities in life, and how are we sharing and receiving the abundant life of Jesus, and how the starting point for your day is the enemy is defeated. Isn't that good news? I don't know. I feel like it's good news. All right. Mother's Day, blessings that come with Jesus' new normal. So Mother's Day, we honored a few women in the Bible, the blessing of courage like Esther, to let go of being an orphan and walk as a son and daughter of God. Strength like Deborah, to come alongside others with our strength when there is weakness. Vision like Anna, fresh vision for your life no matter your age or your circumstance. And faith like Eunice, praying when no one else sees. Eunice was Timothy's mother that we don't hear much about, but Timothy changed the world with his faith. Amen. And then last week, we talked about beholding. Experiencing God is a stronger experience than anything else in your life. Who got a little convicted by that this week? I did. God, as you're like preparing to have a child, there's all these realities kind of colliding, and you're trying to figure everything out, and you can't. And it's a good reminder that no matter what experience you're experiencing, God is stronger and bigger, and you can enter into that at any point. How many know you have 24/7 access to God? Anything or anyone that tells you otherwise is not Jesus, because that's the reason he died. Amen? Is that the best news? So the question we asked last week is, what are you beholding in your daily life, right? We can behold Jesus in the battle even more than the enemy. Just like Jehoshaphat, the worshipers were at the front of the army, and they were beholding Jesus, and victory was released. So new normal means a previously unfamiliar or atypical situation that has become standard, usual, or expected. What did you expect when you came to church this morning? It's a great question. What did you expect? Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I was like, it's a holiday weekend and it's really cold. I need to get my expectations in line with Jesus, because I'm like, I want to stay in bed and like go to sleep more, right? Anybody else just want to kind of like curl up? And thank you for shifting your expectations, right? But I was hearing someone speak yesterday, and they were talking about, hey, when you come into Thrive, it wasn't for Thrive, it was for, another community, but when you come into church, are your expectations about, hey, what is God going to do? How is he going to move in the impossible, right, to build faith? So new normal. Can I have some tea, Leah? Would that be possible? Thank you so much. I don't normally ask, but I think that might be helpful. So our theme verse is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. That word new in Greek means fresh, new, unused, and novel. I like the unused. Do you know what you get from God has never been used before? It doesn't mean that you're getting some like weird revelation. It means that there's so much of God's love that the love you get has never been touched by another human. Isn't that special? Isn't that powerful to think about? The mercy you get today has never been received by another human. Isn't that amazing? His mercies are new every morning. Amen? The two Greek words used for new in the New Testament are neos, new more in the meaning of more recent in time, like young people, or a new version of you before you came to Christ. But the other version of new in Greek is more in the meaning of new in quality or different in nature from the old, new and improved. It's not just new, but it's better than the old. How many know that you with Jesus is a lot better than you without Jesus in the old, right? That's what that word means in Greek. And here are a few times it's used in the New Testament. He gives us a new commandment, a better than the old one, an improved. He created the church as something new that transcends Jew and Gentile boundaries, Ephesians 2. We become a new creation, 2 Corinthians. He created us as a new self made in his likeness, Ephesians 4. And we will spend eternity in the new heaven and earth, Revelation 21. So new, everything is new. The new normal is not a reused version of our old life. It is an improved and brand new. So let's unpack this a little bit more here. We started this last week with behold, and I only got through half my notes. So we're going to try to get through all of them today, all right? Let's see what we can do here. But how many know that in the new normal, there is new communication, right? So on March 7th in 1876, the first landline telephone was patented by Alexander Graham Bell, and the first phone call was made on March 10th when Bell called his assistant, Thomas Watson, and said, "Mr. Watson, come here, I want to see you." So that's the, I like that, of all the things he could have said. The first landline telephone, March 7th. How many know that's some new communication? April 3rd, 1973, the first cell phone call was made in New York City by Martin Cooper. The cell phone, he said, ought to be an extension of a person. Ooh. I know back then that sounded like a great idea. I don't know if he thought that this is where we'd end up, right? And it ought to be with the person all the time. Oh, boy. Today, there are more than 7.41 billion mobile users worldwide. That's a lot of mobile users. Mobile. I don't know why I said that. But mobile, sure. So isn't that like the British way of saying it, I think? But I thought about this, and I was like, well, clearly, this means that all communication issues have been solved. Right? Yeah. All you need is a solution. Who are my solution-oriented people, right? In your, like, your marriage or in your workplace, you bring a problem, like, well, the solution clearly will just solve all the problems, right? Oh, if it were just that simple. But just like we said last week, just because we have access to something doesn't mean it transforms our life. It's what we do with it that matters. Amen? Just because Jesus died on that cross for you doesn't mean it transforms your life unless you receive him as your Savior, which we all can do. What are we doing with the new normal that Jesus died and resurrected to give us? Amen? So in Exodus 19, God is at Mount Sinai. I saw Pastor Caleb get his Bible out. We're going to keep driving through, but you can go there. And he invited all of Israel to come up the mountain and hear him speak. It's so powerful. Can you imagine this big mountain, and they're like, God's saying, you're invited to come speak. How many would be running up the mountain, right? Like, just get me up the mountain. I want to hear the audible voice of God. And yet the Israelites had all this fear and misconception, and it drove them the opposite direction because they left Egypt, but Egypt hadn't left them, right? And because of that, we have 1,300 years where God didn't speak corporately again unless it was just through the prophets. Because the Israelites were so afraid, and they had all these preconceptions, and they didn't let Egypt go. How many have wanted to hear God or walk in the new normal, and when there's an opportunity to, it's like, oh, you have all these preconceptions or fear that can kind of hold you back. Right? But what I love is the first corporate words we hear from God since Exodus 19 was in the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but the Orthodox say that Jesus wasn't baptized in the water. How did it go? I'm going to see if I can pull this off with a pregnant brain. Okay. Jesus wasn't baptized in the water. Jesus baptized the water. There we go. Isn't that a really amazing way to think about it? Because if you think about it, Jesus is so much bigger than the water he went down in, that the water really was baptized by Jesus. If you think about that, I just loved hearing that different way of thinking about it. But the point is that the first corporate words from God since Exodus 19 are God saying, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased," right? "This is my beloved son." And I just love that because he's saying, hey, you ran away from because of fear, but this is love. And he's speaking that over us this morning. In the book of John, where behold is used the most, we first are introduced to him as the Word, right? It says in John 1, 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Thanks, Leah. How many know that the darkness still has not overcome the light? Amen? But what I love is, so in John, we have the mirror of Genesis, right? So I'm also going to read Genesis 1:1. As I said, I'm kind of driving through these scriptures this morning. We won't land as much in just one. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless. Can you just say formless? Empty. And darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the very first environment God revealed himself as the Word was not a temple, was not a church, wasn't a beautiful nature scene or a home. It was the void and emptiness and the darkness. Think about that. That's the first environment that God chose to hover, to speak. I wonder if when Jesus was baptized in the water, he was thinking of the creation of the world, right? And the voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Over the void, over the emptiness, over the darkness, that's the environment that God chose to speak. And today in part two, as we're talking about beholding God in the new normal, we're talking about new communication and hearing his voice. And oftentimes I feel like we think that we have to earn to hear his voice or get everything perfect. Have you ever been like, if I just turn the worship music to the exact right level, right? Or the audio Bible, and then if nobody talks, or if I turn the bathroom fan on, so I have 5 minutes in the bathroom with the door locked, in the perfect environment just for a minute, then I'll hear God's voice. Has anyone ever been there? And let's be honest, sometimes it is just sensory overload. You just need a minute. But it was over the void. It was over the darkness. And some of those words actually mean chaos. It was over the chaos of the world that God chose to first speak. So you may think you need a certain environment to hear him, but he just required chaos and emptiness. And how many know there's enough of that in the world? We don't really need to add to it, right? And God is still speaking. He's unafraid of that environment. Isn't that good news? It says, God has never been afraid of sin or darkness, and he won't start today, right? We often think faith looks like walking on the water, when sometimes it looks like believing God is still speaking over the waters of your life, over the fluid, empty, and dark places. Unafraid, his voice speaks. I want to say that one more time, because especially in a, you know, a spirit-filled church, sometimes it's like, you just got to walk on the water, right? Just step out of the boat. And some of us right in this room right now are just holding on for dear life in life. And maybe you're not called to step out on the water. You just need to remember he's speaking over the waters of your life. He's speaking over the empty places, over the chaotic places right now. And then, of course, you can step out on the water with him. Take a step of faith. But sometimes that step of faith looks like remembering how he created the world and how he created us. Amen? It says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, in John 10, 27. And I heard this story this week. We had a powerful mental health training that I got to attend and look forward to going deeper in, but it was really amazing because the trainer who, she'd been on FBI stings, she had worked with child soldiers, and she works down in Pennsylvania with some very high-risk people and just bringing healing and professional and Jesus and all of that helped to that whole world. And it was such a powerful reminder of that. But she also had been to Ireland, and she had gone all around the country, I think it was for 2 months, stopping at Catholic and Protestant churches every other week. And it was like a whole reconciliation type thing. This was a long time ago. And one of the things she did was, I guess she was out on a hill, and there were all these sheep, but the sheep had colors on them. She's like, why are the sheep, I don't know if they were like tattooed or what, but they had colors, different colors. So she asked one of the shepherds, and she's like, why are they colored? And he's like, oh, well, so that the shepherds know they're sheep, because we all herd them together. Is it a herd of sheep? I've been in debate with my husband all week about this. A flock of sheep, that doesn't sound right, right? So anyway, a herd, thank you. And so then she said, well, how do the sheep know the shepherd's voice? Because if the shepherds have to color code their sheep, how do the sheep know their shepherd's voice? And he said, well, they learn to hear their shepherd's voice. They all were herded together, but yet they could tell their shepherd out of all the shepherds. How many know there are a lot of shepherds, quote unquote, in our world, but we need to hear the good shepherd, even if we're all herded together in life right now. Amen? I just thought that was such a vivid picture of knowing God's voice, no matter what's going on in our lives. So let's just unpack this. We're going to go a little more practical today and look at some ways to hear God's voice. But the first two things I want to touch on before we hear the practical ways are two roadblocks that can often stand in the way of us hearing God's voice. And it doesn't mean that God stopped talking, but how many have ever had something in your life and suddenly you just can't feel anything or hear anything? And so the first one is unforgiveness or sin. How many know that nothing is bigger than the cross of Jesus? Amen? But relationship happens through invitation, right? We have a free will to choose what we behold in our lives. How many have chosen to behold or to be more aware of something other than Jesus and then realized a couple days later that didn't work out so well? Right? Maybe it was in a priority, an attitude, a relationship. And so one of the biggest ways this can happen is through unforgiveness or sin. And I want to go to John 11. We're going to talk about Lazarus for just a second. John 11, 43 through 44 says, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. I love this because the voice of God resurrected Lazarus. But how many know the voice of God created the heavens and the earth? It could have done anything in that moment. God could have done anything. And instead of God using his voice to take the grave clothes off, he uses his voice to instruct the community to take the grave clothes off. If you think about it, right? So the voice of God said, be resurrected, and it resurrected. How many have had the voice of God over your life, whether you know it or not? That's why you're here today, saying, be resurrected. There's a new normal through Jesus. Amen? But after that, Jesus told the people to take the grave clothes off. And we have a choice when we're born again to take off those grave clothes, to help each other do that. And one of those grave clothes is unforgiveness. I love this prayer in Psalm 139. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. It's one of the most beautiful prayers to pray. I encourage you to pray it daily or weekly, Psalm 139. How many know that sin and unforgiveness can be like a muscle memory? Like we're set free. It's our old nature. It's not in the new normal. We can sin, but sin is not my nature. I'm a son and daughter of God, right? If we're following that truth that Jesus died to give us, but sin can be like a muscle memory. So it's like you're set free, you're healed, but how many know when you like heal your leg after it's broken, you have a muscle memory of limping, right? And you kind of have to remember, oh yeah, it's not broken anymore, right? Or you overcompensate for like your wrist or something, and then when it's healed, you're still overcompensating. And so that can happen in our lives, and God wants to set us free from the muscle memory of sin in our life. When we behold our pain or past more than we choose to behold Jesus, it can cause a roadblock to walking in the new normal, because what we behold becomes our God, becomes idolatry, right? We were house-sitting once, and I don't know what they were worshiping. But anyway, there were a couple visible idols, we'll just put it that way. And I was like, oh man, like I need to pray when I leave the house, you know? And then you think about it and you're like, ooh, what are the invisible idols in my life that I'm just entertaining, right? What am I more aware of that's unhealthy, that's dysfunctional, that goes against God's design in my life, right? Are you following? And so it's important when we're talking about sin and forgiveness, especially forgiveness, that we understand that forgiving someone does not mean that what you did or what they did to you was okay or should ever happen again. But it releases us from the judgment seat and gives that person and that situation over to God. Amen? It doesn't mean that we can always reconcile or should reconcile every relationship. So it doesn't mean a boundaryless result. And how many know forgiveness is not an emotion, right? It's a choice that we have through the Holy Spirit that empowers us to make. Freely we have been forgiven by Jesus, and freely we are to forgive. Amen? How many have been forgiven by Jesus? Every time that I have a hard time forgiving what I would call the unforgivable, I'm humbled to remember what I've been forgiven for, right? And I encourage you to think about that and meditate on that as we're talking about that this morning. If someone's name is coming to mind, sometimes we need to actually, work through that process with a counselor, a Christian counselor, or in a prayer session. That's why we offer prayer sessions here, or pastoral counseling with Pastor Pat, because sometimes you need to kind of process through that unforgiveness and that forgiveness, and that's okay. Jesus is with us in the process. But I can tell you that in my marriage, when I have a hard time receiving love or giving it to Brian, it's because there is unforgiveness in my heart. On that poignant moment, I'm going to drink my tea. Ooh, that's green tea. Sermon's about to get faster. Here we go. I think I'm fine, and then I'm like, why can't I receive from my husband? Or we come into like a staff meeting on Monday, and I'm like, why am I having a really hard time hearing like Pastor Caleb's heart or whatever it is? And it doesn't mean we have like a, you know, a duke out. I'm like, I need to forgive you. Sometimes it's just a moment. I just need to take a moment and realize, ooh, Jesus, what am I holding on to here that's become a roadblock? Because if you have unforgiveness, it's hard to receive from that person, right? And so part of walking in our new normal is walking in a new level of forgiveness, not holding on to offense, asking questions if there is offense, or just going to Jesus or processing it out with him, amen? And because it's really hard to hear my husband. In fact, it starts to twist what he's saying. He can be saying something to me, and I'm hearing 180 from what he's saying because I'm holding on to unforgiveness, and it's like I put earmuffs on, and it's filtering through, right? And that can happen in any environment, and so including with God, right? And that is why forgiveness can be a roadblock. Brian is still talking to me. I just can't hear him accurately, right? But the second roadblock is hearing God's voice through our preconceptions, our mispreconceptions of what it means to hear God and behold him in our lives. So some of us believe that like we have to perform to hear God's voice, right? Anytime I go to God, it's all about like, hey, God, notice me. Please speak, right? Or we're trying to escape punishment. If we only go to God to hear his voice because we're trying to escape punishment, it's like, God, can you just tell me I'm okay still? Just tell me I'm okay. Are we okay? Can you just tell me I'm okay? Right? And sometimes we're in moments in our lives where we just need him to tell us we're okay, and that's okay. But if we're always going to him that way, that might be a missed way of understanding what it means to hear God's voice. How about, I just want to get it right and perfect, right? God, just show me a sign I'm in your will. Like, show me a sign I didn't mess up. And that's the only reason we're going to God. God, just show me a sign. Show me a sign. I didn't mess up. And again, there are times in our lives where these can come. But if this is only the way we hear God, it might be time to just check our heart, right? We're also all uniquely wired differently, whether it's because of our life season, whether it's because of past experiences you've been through, or different ways our brains are wired, right? But the question isn't, is God speaking? It's just, how are we listening? Some of us may hear God more, may feel him more, If you had your emotions shut down in your childhood, you may not be able to feel God as much without healing there. Some of us sense him like a nudge in a certain direction, or see him like you have a vision. Some of us have all these tendencies, right? So we're going to just spend the last few minutes of the message unpacking those different ways. And my prayer is that as I share some of the different ways to hear God, that you would notice maybe a way that you didn't realize God was speaking to you. Or you notice a way you want to hear God more, and we can unpack that. And that's why we have pastors here, because sometimes that's a one-on-one journey of processing what that looks like, right? But before we do that, I just want to touch on prophecy just really quick. After Acts 2, how many know the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh? Can you just say, I'm part of the all? That's the good news. Isn't that good that we're all part of the all? But I want to share that, you know, if someone is bringing a prophetic encouragement, prophetic meaning that, like, I heard something from God, like, you know, Pastor Caleb, you are like a rock right now in your life. God's just strengthening you, and that God is strengthening your foundation. Something like that, right? That's a pretty generalized identity prophetic word. But let's say I hear something for Caleb. If someone comes up to you and tells something to you that you have not heard from God before, I encourage you to just kind of hold it loosely and get confirmation. How many, and I'm not asking for a raise of hands here, but how many have heard from God, like someone gave you a prophetic word? If you're newer to, like, more charismatic, maybe this has never happened to you, but I have a friend who got a word from God from somebody, and it completely derailed their life. And it was a very left field word. They never got confirmation for it. It didn't sit right with them. God had never said this to them before. And it was like, right? And so I encourage you that if you ever do get something from God and it doesn't line up with anything in your life, to hold it loosely before God, to seek confirmation, to go to the Word of God, make sure it lines up. Amen? So I just want to put that out there. It's very important that we talk about hearing God's voice from a very foundational way, not a floaty way. All right? So that's my little disclaimer here. So first, let's look at a few practical ways. So number one is scripture. And we spent an entire month, a couple months ago, talking about healthy habits and spiritual life, right? And there is still that handout if you go to thriveny.org/connect. That's a way that you can actually look at the Bible study, different ways to study the Bible, different ways to unpack the Word of God in a deeper way. So I encourage you to look at that handout. But in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? We got to look at the manual to know how to operate in the new normal, right? How many are not manual people? I can't even understand manuals. I assembled a bookshelf backwards. That was the last thing I tried to do here. I was done. I was like, I even looked at it. I'm like, I don't even understand how I inverted it, right? But the Word of God doesn't have to be that way, right? It is a mystery, but the Holy Spirit, God in us, Emmanuel, God with us, helps us read the Bible and understand it. And so if it's a total mystery to you, I encourage you, check out that handout. Reach out to one of our pastors. We'd love to connect with you. Because everything we talk about hearing in God will line up with Scripture. Every single thing will line up with the character of Jesus. That is so important. All right, so number two, another way to hear from God is through nature or the physical world or circumstances and coincidence. That's a big number two. All right, but we're just talking about it, okay? We're going to talk about all those things. It says in Romans 1:20, forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. I want to tell you a story. How many know this is my father's world hymn, right? This is my father's world. Our former worship leader here about 15 years ago, man, we used to do that song a lot. It's a great song. I would play my violin right back in the day, and it was beautiful. A little excerpt. This is my father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Now, I didn't know anything about this. I felt like God was highlighting it to me. So I was like, let me look up who wrote this. Like, what is this? Well, this hymn was written by a pastor. I'm having a hard time saying his name. I think it's Maltby. We're going to call him Maltby Babcock. That's a mouthful. All right. But he actually wrote the hymn in upstate New York. And he used to tell his wife when he'd go outside, I'm going out into my father's world. How many need to start declaring that you're going out into your father's world when you leave the house? I think some of us are saying the opposite, right? So if you get one thing, just start declaring this is my father's world, all right? And so he used to say that to his wife. And Maltby was an incredibly powerful minister. But he also suffered from clinical depression. And this is all the way back in the 1800s. And he was hospitalized even for it in Danville, New York. He battled, like Timothy, with an ailment that didn't stop him from beholding God for himself and others. But I thought that was very powerful. So this pastor who had even been hospitalized for clinical depression, his way of interacting with God was in the rustling grass in his father's world. Isn't that powerful? Hearing God in nature is a powerful way to encounter Jesus no matter what we're facing. So a couple questions to ask if you want to hear God in nature is, you know, you go out on a walk or you're going about your day, and what is standing out to you in nature? What do you notice? How are you beholding his character and creativity all around you, right? Maybe there's a rainbow, or maybe there's a cloud, and or there's a like an eagle that's really standing out to you, and you're like, oh, under the wings of an eagle, I can take refuge. It's not weird. Don't make it weird. If it doesn't point back to Jesus and it doesn't point back to Scripture, don't go there, all right? But God created nature to show us his character, right? So I encourage you to notice nature around you, just like Pastor Maltby Babcock did in his father's world. Circumstances and coincidences. You know, when Brian threw his back out a couple weeks ago, we thought of a couple that had actually had the exact same back injury a few years back, and his wife had been pregnant at the same time. And I was like, all right, Brian, if they did this, we can do this. And then out of the blue, we hadn't talked to this couple in 6 years, the husband texted Brian. And I was like, hey, just thinking of you. How are you doing? We were like, what? Right? That's called a divine coincidence. Right? And so immediately I was like, we're going to be okay. God just gave us like the assurance we're going to, I don't know if the guy ever really, I hope Brian told him how much it meant, but how many have ever gotten a text or a call or a letter, or you ran into somebody, or the same thing kept happening, or whatever it is, right? And you're like, wait a second, there's a coincidence here, right? God speaks through coincidences and circumstances. Just because it happens does not mean it's God trying to talk to you, but you can hear God in anything because he can use anything to show us his love, right? So when you see something in your life that stands out, ask, God, what are you wanting to remind me through this? What part of who you are you revealing to me in this circumstance, right? And remember, it'll always line up with Jesus. And when in doubt, ask for some confirmation. Talk to someone, right? The last little group, and then we'll close here really fast, is visions and dreams. And still small voice, right? One of my favorite stories was a little child that loved to worship up here before their family moved. And one day she said, I saw an angel in worship. And she was like 3 years old. Like, there was no way someone like indoctrinated her to see an angel, blah, 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 right? And she just saw something that God showed her. And it was so beautiful. And so sometimes we will see something. Again, don't be weird. Go to the scripture. Go to the character of Jesus, right? How many know some of the books of the Bible are actual visions that people had, right? They're very visual. Dreams, right? I have a ton of dreams. And maybe some of us have had dreams and we didn't realize that God was actually speaking to us. Pastor Pat is an incredible person to talk to and share a dream if you're looking for, you know, hey, how could God be speaking to me in this? I've done that with people as well. I will pour out my spirit on all people. How many know God didn't say only young or old men or women, right? He said all. So why don't we just stand on our feet here as I close. First Kings talks about fires and winds and a still, small, gentle voice. How many know you have to be quiet to listen? I know that's tough for some of us, easy for others, but you have to be quiet to listen. One of the exercises at the mental health training that I went to this week was to drive in your car in silence. Don't turn the radio on. Don't turn the music on. Be silent. I'm going to be honest with you. That sounded terrifying to me. I was like, I don't want to drive in silence, right? But you have to be quiet to listen. And the trainer was talking about, hey, if you want to hear the voice of God or you want to know what's going on, you got to be silent. So I encourage you, if you even just get one thing out of today, set an alarm for 1 minute on your phone and be silent for just a minute. Try it every day this week. And if I'm not saying everything around you is silent, kids could be screaming or whatever, but you're silent just for a moment and just listen. You might hear nothing, and that's okay, but we need to be quiet to be able to hear. So what area jumped out to you today to hear God's voice? This was like a scrunched message. We could spend the entire year talking about hearing God's voice. I hope that one of our small groups, maybe in the fall, can unpack this more because this is part of the new normal with God. But I encourage you to quiet yourself this week. Be more aware of God. Right? No matter how your brain is wired, your past experiences, or your current season, remember, God chooses to speak over the chaos, over the empty, over the darkness. You don't have to perform to hear. And God might speak to you through someone else as well. If you're having a hard time, God uses us as a family, as a community. So right now, I just bless you to behold God in his love. To behold God in his goodness, to behold God in his provision, to behold God in his mercy and peace, to behold God in his grace, to behold God in his generosity and faithfulness, in his healing and friendship and lordship. Jesus, I just thank you for creation. Father, I ask that you would start showing us different ways you're speaking to us through nature, through circumstances, through coincidences. God, that you would remind us of dreams we've had, of visions and little small nudges that we didn't realize were you. And more than any of that, Father, I ask that you make the Bible come alive to us this week in a new way. Thank you, God, that we can know your voice. We can know your heart. And we just receive your love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.